God bless you. Well, the youth and the children are dismissed. If you want to make your way down to Sunday school, Mommy and Daddy have their Sunday school up here. It's called church. Thank you, Jesus. So we've been tracking for the past couple of weeks, and today, because Sunday is supposed to be the first day of the week, we are starting our third week of making room for more. Adding one and taking away another equals more. It's somebody's math, and it works. Adding one and taking away another equals more. And I won't have any more of that cough in Jesus' name. So we're going to go to Acts 2:42. This morning, the text that was slotted for this morning's service comes from Acts 2:42. I promise you, it's just our launching place. We'll go further. Acts 2:42. We're going to read up to verse 47, and it's speaking of the fellowship of the believers. And it says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And the Lord added to their number. The caption in my Bible said the fellowship of the believers. The highlight of the verse was intended to be 42, verse 42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And so what is the fellowship of the believers? What is it that they found themselves in? We see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. We see that they devoted themselves to prayer. And as a result, awe fell upon them. As a result, there were signs and there was wonders, because wherever there is a presence of God, there is signs and there is wonders. They sold everything that they had to help those so that no one in their midst could be without. Imagine that type of a church in today's society, where gas is $1.73 a liter. "It's okay, sister, I got ya. I'll fill the tank. I'll just sell a chair or two." They went to church together. They daily shared bread and communion and what the Lord added to their numbers. When I read this, I'm parked at "the Lord added to their numbers." When I read it, I say, "Lord, do it again in our church. Do it again in our church." Not because of the number. It's not that we want a certain number of people attending. It was the number that represented the salvation of lives that came into the church. It was a number that represented souls were added to the kingdom. It wasn't just people coming to church, doing their duty. It was Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. No, it was because souls were added to the kingdom. We want to see, Lord, let it be seen here in this house that we would see souls added to the kingdom. Just Friday night after the meeting, 6 came forward. We didn't have a band playing special music, tugging at their heart, making them feel all warm and fuzzy. just the message of the movie, of lives that were changed, the message of Jesus, of what he did in those lives. Some were rededications, but four were first-time bona fide commitments. That's adding to the kingdom. That's adding to the kingdom. Wednesday night, the group of young people were here from YWAM, and they were all excited to tell me, we've seen two salvations. All excited that two people came into the kingdom of God prior to coming. And I don't know if it happened that morning or when exactly that it happened, but they were all excited to see that souls had come into the kingdom. Do we share in that sort of excitement? Or do we just share in the excitement of, wow, today was a powerful service, but not a life was saved? We want powerful services. We want to experience the flow of the Holy Spirit. We want to see lives saved. Amen. We want the kingdom of God to be populated. We want heaven to be filled with our family and our friends. May we be a fellowship that is so in tune with the Holy Spirit that no one in our midst lacks. No one in our midst lacks. That's not just monetary things. That's not just what do you call it? Monetary things. That's what it is. But no one lacks when you need support, emotional support, prayer support. No one lacks. But that doesn't just happen. Something took place in the lives before this fellowship came together. And you know, we make a big deal about fellowship. We call it koinonia or koinonia. Sister Debbie, I'm sorry, I've probably said it wrong both ways. She's corrected me enough times, I believe she said it was koinonia. But it is not just the coffee and the loaf and the cookies after service or before service. That is not the koinonia that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at what happened to these disciples, what happened to this first early church that caused them to have fellowship. And we have to go back a few steps. And I'm not supposed to, because we have reserved a special Sunday just for this topic, but I have to just dip my feet in it. You see, last week we spoke about in Luke 24, when the Lord had, well, we've been going over it a few weeks, the burning hearts of those Cleopas and his traveling friend on the road to Emmaus. And when was it that they experienced the revelation that the man that was traveling with them, while he was opening up the scriptures and teaching them of all the prophets from Moses right up until the Messiah, while he was expanding upon them, their eyes were prohibited from seeing him. But when they invited him to come in, when they invited him to come and have fellowship with them, he was making motion as if he was going to go further, but he came at their probing. And when he came at their invitation, he took the bread. He was not even the host, but he took the bread. And as he took it and he broke it, their eyes became opened. And at that moment of revelation, to know who he was, that he was the Christ, that he was the resurrected one, in that instant, he was gone. He was gone from their midst, but you know what happened within them? That fire began to burn so hot that it propelled them to run back to Jerusalem. What took them a day's journey to get to Emmaus now took not much time to run back to Jerusalem. And they find themselves in with the other disciples, and they say, "You won't believe what we have to tell you. We walked all day with this man. We didn't even know who he was. You don't even know sometimes the presence of God that is walking beside you." And they're saying, "We didn't even know who he was, but once he broke the bread, our eyes became open and we saw." And then suddenly Jesus appears into that room. Nobody opened the door. Nobody invited him in. He didn't even as much as knock. He just walked in. While his voice, while his story was being told, while they were sharing with the others of the Christ they had became aware of. He is the resurrected one. He is alive. He enters into the room and he says, "Peace be with you. Why are you troubled?" "Well, I don't know, because you just showed up. How'd you get in here?" "Peace be with you." And so there he was, ministering with them. And he left them with this verse of verse 49 of Luke chapter 24. "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until." Stay in the city until you are clothed with what? Power. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Who was it that was going to clothe them with this power? What would he look like? What type of power was he going to put upon them? Now we got electric cars versus gas cars. Oh, but you can have a hybrid that operates on both, or you can just have one or the other. What kind of power was going to be infused into them? What would it look like? Jesus referenced in when he was speaking to the disciples. That the Holy Spirit was the power. And the disciples in this text where we started this morning of 42, Acts chapter 2 and 42, this is where we have seen the disciples. We have caught ourselves up to the fact that they have sat and they have tarried and they have experienced this power. And now as a result of that power, they are experiencing multiplication. There is nothing that we could do in our church, in our worship services, in our prayer meetings, in our Bible studies without the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we could do without His presence in our midst. There is nothing that we could teach without the illuminating of His Holy Spirit, giving us understanding into the text and the context of what we are reading. There is nothing that the church can do without the Holy Spirit. We need to get that embedded within our understanding, because if we don't get it embedded within our understanding, all we have is a pulpit. All we have is instruments, but we lack the anointing. But with the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit, there comes an anointing. There comes a flow. There comes illumination. There comes understanding. There comes multiplication. Because it begins with the flow and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's not him. It's not her. It's the Holy Spirit. And that's where we need to see ourselves. The newly formed church were giving themselves to fellowship. And I've said it already. The Greek word was koinonia. Koinonia. What is it, Daniel? You're laughing at me. Koinonia. It just means this. Share all things. Have things in common. Partake with each other. Partnership. Communion. But communion with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is called intimacy. Communion with the Holy Spirit is being in that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Communion with the Holy Spirit is knowing that He knows my thoughts from afar off. He knows my secret desires. He knows everything there is to know about me. Communion with the Holy Spirit is that when I stand in here to speak, He knows what is before me and what is behind me. He knows about this crazy cough that's been nagging at me all week. It's walking in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Once upon a time in our churches, we wouldn't end a service without a benediction. You didn't leave your pew if there wasn't a benediction said. And one of the most common benedictions was penned by Paul as he was signing off his letters to the Corinthians. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's the last verse of verse 14. And it says, "Now let the grace of God and the love of the Father and the fellowship," I think I said that wrong. "Now let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship," there it is. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." But you know what he said before that? Can I read it to you? Verse 11. "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." Don't race to me after the service. I am sick. I'm just kidding. Now catch this. This is where it boils down. After he's telling them, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, after he's told them, live in peace with one another, stop your arguing and fighting, and the God of love and peace will be with you, he says, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, if you're a King James person, it'll say the comfort, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. The grace of the Lord, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Message translation says it? It says like this: "The amazing grace of the Master Jesus. Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Can I say it again? The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If somebody wrote you a letter and ended it that way, would not your heart swell? The extravagant, the amazing, the intimate, the amazing grace of God. Yes, because as we look at upon ourselves, we don't deserve his grace. But his grace is so amazing that he poured it into us. The love of God. Because he loves us even though day after day we fail him. You see, if God were about divorce, he could have divorced us a long time ago because we weren't true to our love. But the love of God that is unending, the love of God that keeps pouring out, and that intimate Holy Spirit, that friendship. Who's your best friend? Who's the one you go to and you tell your deepest secrets to? Jesus. "Oh, I got to tell you. Oh, you wouldn't believe. Oh my gosh, I got this text today. So let me just give you the backstory." Okay, so and the other person on the other end, and we fail to go to God. But James 4 and 5 says this: he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. He yearns jealousy. He yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Why? Because he is a fierce. He loves fiercely. He is a fearless lover. Anyways, you know, I keep getting distracted by this cough because you know what it's like in the name of Jesus. It's like a I have a Halls in my mouth. Thank you. God bless you. But I have it and it's not working. As a matter of fact, it's Ricola. Ricola. And then, side note. Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, let's just get focused in Jesus' name. And Lord, let this cough be a base. How do we commune with the Holy Spirit? How do we walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? It's difficult to conceive in our minds. Why? Because we don't see Him. I could go for a walk with my friend, and I could talk for miles. Matter of fact, I could go on a 5-kilometer walk, and it doesn't even matter. After 30 minutes, it's like, oh, but we just started. And we had such good communion. We had such good conversation, such good fellowship. But that is difficult to conceive when we say that the Holy Spirit wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. It's hard for our minds to understand having an intimate relationship with something we do not see. In fact, it would make us think that we were a tad crazy. Because, like, who are you talking to? Like, you know, somebody's in the shower and they're like, just praying in tongues away. Somebody on the other side of the bathroom door could be thinking, whoa. It doesn't wrap around our human understanding to conceive that the Holy Spirit desires intimate relationship with us, but the scriptures refers to Him as a person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. And this was the secret of the early church. This was what happened to them. Their fellowship was initially birthed in the birth room of the tarrying and the waiting until they were clothed with the power from on high. Until the promise of the Holy Spirit had come. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They didn't know what it would look like. But in their blind obedience, they obeyed the voice of their master. Go and wait. Go and tarry. Have you ever said to a child, wait, just a minute. But when? Just a minute. But you said that 10 minutes ago, just a minute. They went and they waited and they had fellowship. And their entire life, as a result of what they encountered in that time of tarrying, was now propelled by this force, this third person, the Holy Spirit. Their whole life was led by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I can give you proof, because you know what? Sometimes we don't fully understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. But let me take you to Acts chapter 10, where we could see what true fellowship of the Holy Spirit looks like. There's a man named Cornelius, and he's praying. He's a Gentile, and he's offering alms to the Lord. And as he's offering alms to the Lord, there is another man named Peter. And Peter is waiting for something to eat, but he's also praying. And while he is praying, he has a dream. And in this dream is a white cloth that comes down. And it's let down by its four corners upon the earth. And different kinds of animals fall from it. Reptiles and animals of different sorts. Birds of the air. And then a voice comes and says to Peter, rise, Peter. Kill and eat. But Peter was hesitant. And what did he say? No, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But the voice replied, what God has made clean, do not call common. This troubled Peter. What does does this mean? Have you ever had a dream that troubled you within your heart? That made you say, what is this dream about? What is being said to me? And Peter was troubled and he wondered in his heart what it meant. And while he was wondering, two men came. Two men came. Without any details, the Lord told him that he was to go. There were three men that were looking for him. You are to rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. No other details. That's blind faith. Just go. Where am I going? Just go. What am I going to do? Just go. How will I know when I get there? Go. That is ultimate trust. When the voice says to you, go, and it makes zero sense to you, and you don't know exactly where you're going, you're just going to go and follow these men, these random men, and who are they and where did they come from? But the fellowship of the Holy Spirit gives that obedient heart. And the obedient heart responds and follows as the Lord is leading. We see it unfolding, and if you're not tuning in, you could miss the impact. You see, when we see Acts 42, and we read that they gave themselves to the teachings of the apostles and the fellowship, we just think, hey, how's it going? You doing good? Want to go for coffee after church? Hey, how you been doing this week? And we think the fellowship is all about the friendliness, and it's all about the coffee, and it's all about having a good meal together. And while that is, that fellowship cannot come without the true fellowship. And because Peter was walking in true fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to walk in obedience to what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do. He was able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, go. But if Peter was not walking in fellowship, true koinonia, true intimate friendship and relationship with the Holy Spirit, neither would he have had a vision, nor would he have gone, nor would he have heard a voice, because you cannot hear what you're not walking in fellowship with. You cannot hear what is being said to you if you're not listening. And so there is Peter. No other details, but walks in blind obedience. Because he had a true relationship. And he had true fellowship. And that birthed trust. And that birthed obedience. I know who it is that is speaking to me. I don't fully get it. But I'm going to obey it. And so, guess what happens? As a result of Peter's intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, as a result of his walk with the Holy Spirit, listen to what unfolds in the life of Cornelius. Acts 10, 30 to 48, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to capsulize certain verses. Cornelius, verse 31, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. And so what did Cornelius do? He obeys, and he sends for Peter. And then when Peter gets to his house, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. What did he mean by that? Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter was a Jew. God shows no partiality, but in every nation and anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Oh, Peter, the revelation of the dream is now unfolding. These animals and these birds of the airs and the reptiles that were falling from a clean white sheet are now, you are now understanding, they are not the uncommon, they are not unclean, but they are of God. And the message needs to go to them. It's as important to bring the message to them, Peter, as it is to bring it to your own kin, the Jews. Verse 36, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to that. And jumping down to verse 44, as Peter had unpacked everything pertaining to the gospel, verse 44 says this, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all. On all who what? Heard the word. Was it partial? Was the Holy Spirit for some? It was for all. All who heard the word. There's the key. It's in the hearing. All who heard the word and the believers from among the circumcised who had come to Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. What did Peter say? Let's get him baptized. Let's get him sealed. What happened as a result of the fellowship, as a result of the fellowship that Peter had with the Holy Spirit? Peter was obedient when the voice of God spoke to him. First, the voice of God speaks to him through a vision. In the vision, he sees a picture. The picture doesn't make any sense to him. What does this mean? Then the voice speaks to him and tells him, there's three men. Go with them. Where are we going? I don't know, but just go with them. He obeys the Lord's leading. Go. Why? Because he's walking in fellowship. He's not worried whether his coffee's getting cold, whether the coffee is percolating and ready to serve. He's walking in the obedience to go. Because the fellowship was first with the Holy Spirit, was first with God. My relationship is first with God, then with you. Now, I'm not reducing and saying we don't have fellowship with each other in the natural. Get the point. Because of Peter's obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading, the household of Cornelius was saved. Your obedience, someone's salvation, is hanging in the balance of your obedience. Someone's breakthrough with the Holy Spirit is waiting in the balance of your obedience. Someone's encounter with the power from on high is waiting in the balance of your obedience, and you're worried whether there's enough sugar for your coffee and enough milk. And the Lord is saying, I just want to have fellowship with you. I just want to have koinonia with you. Okay, he's got me covered. I just want to talk to you. Let's go out and have a cup of coffee. When I want to catch up with my friends, that's what we do. Go out and have a breakfast. And it becomes a lunch. And then it becomes a mid-afternoon conversation. Why? Because we have to catch up. The communion and fellowship that Peter walked in with the Holy Spirit overflowed into everything that he did. If he was not obedient, Cornelius' house would not have been saved. How did you get here? The other day, I don't even know if these people are here, but the other day I was speaking to some people, and they came to the church through the bus ministry, right? And it happened like this. So apparently, once upon a time, they used to go door to door and knock in the neighborhood of winding, what is it, trail or way, and knock on doors and invite people to send their children to church. And hey, while we're picking up your kids, would you like to join? And so this couple came. As a result, this one parent decided, yeah, okay, I'm going to come with my kids. Well, they came to church. And they got saved. And as a result of getting saved, they now began to pray that their spouse would get saved. But where did it begin? It began in the knocking. It began in going out. It began in the overflow of what? Somebody had a desire of walking in fellowship with the Lord. And while they're walking in fellowship of the Lord, sign me up. I want to go door to door. Okay, go door to door. Hey, would you like to come to Logos Church? We'll even come and pick you up. A year later, their spouse gets saved. And they came to the church for many years and served God in the church. Hallelujah. How did it begin? Somebody was obedient in their walk with the Lord, in their fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize, brothers and sisters, more and more, can we just stop and see the Holy Spirit working and moving in our lives? Can we stop and see him in our home? Can we stop and see him in our workplace, in our schools, in our colleges? Can we stop and make note? Holy Spirit, there's a moment for me. That person is sitting all by themselves at the table. I'm going to go and sit alongside of them. Our family was talking about a woman. Her name is Pasqualina. And years ago, she was working in a factory. And an immigrant from Romania started working at that factory too. Well, Pasqualina and this immigrant were both very weak in the language of English. And so one day, Pasqualina goes into the cafeteria and she sees this little lady named Maria. Maria, sitting there, no shame, reading her Bible. And as she's reading her Bible, Pasqualina begins to ask her questions. And this lady invites her to church. Pasqualina had left her homeland of Guatemala. Mom and everybody was home. And this Romanian lady became her adopted mom. What happened? That Romanian lady on her lunch hour had fellowship first with God. Maybe she would have said, well, Lord, it's the only time everybody's going to look at me strange to open my Bible here and read. No, but by her reading that Bible on her lunch hour, having fellowship with God, the two women spoke in their broken language, but the language of God's love. Amen. And his forgiveness has no barriers. The fellowship that Maria had was first with the Holy Spirit. And out of the overflow of that, Pasqualina comes into the kingdom of God. And she is born again. When we're about to do something, can we stop and whisper, Holy Spirit, lead me in this moment. Holy Spirit, work through me in this moment. Oh, he could be used in whatever situation you are in. You're in the hour of temptation. Holy Spirit, help me not to yield to the forces of temptation. You're in the time of weakness. Holy Spirit, fill me with your strength. Come and empower me with only the way that you can. When you're about to take on a challenge, Holy Spirit, give me the fortitude, give me the insight, give me the wherewithal to fulfill this challenge. When you're needing wisdom, Holy Spirit, I need you to impart wisdom to me. Whatever situation you are in, talk to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here to be our teacher. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to guide us. The Holy Spirit is here to instruct us. Why? Because he gives testimony of Jesus. He is here to comfort us. He is here to fill us. He's here to call us. He is here to pray for us. He is here to teach us. He is here to speak to us. The Holy Spirit is not limited in his scope. We are limited in our outreach. We are limited in our receiving, but he is not limited. He pours out. He bears witness to the truth. And who is that truth? That truth is Jesus. He brings joy. He brings freedom. He helps us to walk out in our obedience. He transforms us. He lives inside us. You could read all of this as you go through the Gospel of John from 14 onward. You're going to hear Jesus speak of the Holy Spirit. He renews us. He produces fruit in us. He convicts us, sanctifies us, empowers us, unites us, and seals us in what? He enables us to wait and then walk out in that power. Those disciples, the way they tarried was because the Holy Spirit enabled them to wait. He is our charging station. He is our power cord when we are in need of power. Without the Holy Spirit, we are a ship without a rudder, a fire without coal. We are empty and useless without the Holy Spirit. We need his anointing power flowing through us. Here, Paul gave the benediction to the Corinthian church. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you think that this church was always walking in that? No. No, it wasn't. Let me bring you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 6. Paul said this to them, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." Now, listen. I don't have to be a doctorate of math to do this, and neither do you. It's simple adding and subtraction. He appeared to 500. How many were in the upper room? 120. 120, just to let you all know. Where was the other 380? Where was the other 380? They were all given the same commission. Go and tarry. Wait for the power from on high. Go. Wait till you are clothed with power from on high. Go and be my witnesses. Wait till you are clothed with power on high. Go. They all received the same commission. 500. But how many were found in the upper room? That speaks to us of us. We all hear the same message today, but only some will go out filled. Only some will go out empowered. Why? Because only some will hear and embed it, let it embed, and go out and impart it. But this is what happened. Let me take you further, okay? Acts chapter 1, it says this. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, all these with one accord were what? Devoting themselves to prayer together, koinonia, with the woman and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And they, what? What did they do? What did they do? Read it for me. Go to the next. They tarried. They tarried for the promise. 120 of them tarried. Verse 15 says this. Can you go to verse 15? Did I give it to you? In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all 120. Now you know I wasn't lying to you. It's right there in the Bible. 120 of them were praying what? Together. That what is that called? Being together? One accord. Yeah, what else? What's that fancy word? Koinonia. They were all together having koinonia, praying, believing what? For that power to come and to clothe them from on high. The cup of coffee is good. I like it. But the true multiplication of the fellowship that added to the church daily was in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Was in the fellowship of the tarrying. Was in the fellowship of the waiting for the promise. Waiting to be clothed on high with the power. Let's grow in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit today, right? Can we grow in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What will communion with the Holy Spirit do for you? It will give you intimacy with the Father. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is intimacy with God. How do I know this? Because John 15, verse 4 says, abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What else does the communion of the Holy Spirit give us? It gives us revelation and knowledge. John 16, verse 13 supports this. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, what? He will guide you into all truth, for he does not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you what? The things that are to come. Revelation. Revelation. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Walking in communion with the Holy Spirit gives you intimacy with God, gives you revelation, and gives you knowledge. What else does it do? It gives you empowering. We began with that as we started. They were to go and be empowered from on high. 500 were invited to go. 120 showed up. I'm here for the roll call. Count me in. I'm going to tarry. I'm going to wait. Because if Jesus said there was a promise coming, I'm going to wait for it. Count me in, because if there's power, if there's a time that I need power, it's now. Count me in. If there's a time that I'm feeling weak, it's now. And so they showed up. 1, 2, 3. Peter, John, yep. Matthew, yep. Mary, yep, yep. Count them in. They all began to roll in, 120, and there what they do, they prayed together in fellowship. They prayed together, waiting. Intimacy, revelation, knowledge, empowerment, and then what happened? The multiplication. We can't have the multiplication without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We can't have the multiplication of the kingdom of God without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We can draw in everybody. We could serve Tim Hortons, Timbits and bagels, everything, bagels and cream cheese, properly toasted, buttered, not buttered. But it won't merit the kingdom of God unless we're walking in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and they leave here saved. It's only a cup of coffee. But it's empowerment if they've left here saved. Peter. Somebody's phone. It's happened to me. I don't judge you. 500 heard the message. 120 responded. 380 said, "Wow, God. Wow." 380 said, "You know what? God commissioned me. God called me to be a pastor." 380 said, "I got a call on my life. God said to me, go." 380 said, "Jesus spoke to me, told me to go, to baptize, to preach. I got a call on my life." But 120 said, "Jesus, I can't fulfill the call without your power. Jesus, I can't go unless I know you're going before me. Jesus, I can't go unless I've tarried to receive what you've promised." 380 heard and ran ahead of themselves in their own making and in their own doing, making their own plans, their own agendas, their own platforms, building their own buildings, but walking without the power. Would we be that 120 today that would hear him say, "Go, tarry, wait, pray until you are clothed with power from on high. Until you are clothed with power from on high." This is a conviction. The band could come. This is a conviction of my heart. When the Lord speaks of the fellowship that they gave themselves to, it wasn't as much as the hanging out with each other, as much as it was being with God. I love a good coffee. I love a good meal with friends. Don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing that. But I am nothing without the empowerment of God. We will not see the multiplication without the empowerment of God. Peter, the misfit who denied Christ, was among those that purposed within his heart, "I will not go and I will not tell until you have empowered me. I will not speak until you have empowered me. I will not say a thing. I will not go to a place until God, your power from on high has fallen upon me." Why? Why was Peter able to so confidently go and attend and be a part of the roll call of that 120? Because Peter knew what it was like to run away and go the other direction. Oh, you're the one. I seen you with Jesus. No, you got the wrong guy. Peter knew what it was like. And he says, No. I ran away one time knowing he was the Christ, but I won't the next time. This time I will stand and wait for the promise. This time I will wait, I will be there. He wasn't going to run the second time. He wasn't going to run the second time. And as a result of showing up, brothers and sisters, did you show up today to get empowered? As a result of showing up, what happened? Can I read it to you? Then Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on male servants and female servants. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, a great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How could he get up and preach such boldness when just a week prior, 10 days prior, he was fleeing? When he was just running, no, you got the wrong guy, I'm not one of them. But now he gets up in boldness. Why? Because he came into fellowship. He came into intimacy. He came into revelation and knowledge. And as a result, he saw multiplication. He saw souls come to God. He saw people believe. You and I would not be here if not for the boldness that rose up in those early apostles. Thank God for the 120. Forget the 380 that were so caught up in their calling and not who was calling them. May I be only caught up in Christ, in Him crucified. May I only be caught up in the blood of Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit. May I only speak to give glory to God, because none other counts. Who cares for a podium? Throw away the mic. But without Jesus, it's empty words. It's empty words. That, my friends, is the fellowship. That, my friends, is true koinonia. Read the word, understand it. And when you don't, ask the Holy Spirit, give me understanding, give me revelation knowledge, that I may see the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. May I see it in our day. May I see it in our time, that Lord, we will see souls come in and saved, that we would see these pews so full that they would need to be removed, that we would see this church so full because of the overflow of the deposit you've put in the hearts of your people who came to tarry, who came to wait on you for your power, for your unction, for your flow. Lord, may we see these walls torn down and the building expanded because of what you are bringing in. Lord, not for fancy preaching, not for great music, but God, for the message of your saving grace that comes to take those that are in a pit, that comes to deliver those that are bound, that comes to declare freedom for all. No partiality, but freedom for all. Lord, we thank you for the communion and the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. Today, give us just a taste of that. Just a taste of that. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open for you to come and tarry, for you to come and respond, not to me. You're responding to God, because the same commission He gave that many years ago is still alive today. It still is for you. Be tarrying, be found praying, be found waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Be found in the expectation of the birthing room for the endowment of His Holy Spirit upon your life.